counsel, and we move to the next case, which is Mancillary v. Holder.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Mark Kogel. I am appearing on behalf of Edison Mancillary, the petitioner, in this matter. I apologize up front. I do have a bit of a cold, so I'll keep the sniffles and throat clearing to a minimum. I've represented Mr. Mancillary since 2005 before the Immigration Court as well as before the Board of Immigration Appeals. The issues presented to the Immigration Court and which were reviewed by the Board of Immigration Appeals in its dismissal of our appeal are in front of this court at this time. It is our position that the evidence in the record was compelling enough for the immigration judge to have granted political asylum based on Mr. Mancillary's social group, which includes his family. In addition, we also believe that the court and the Board of Immigration Appeals have committed reversible error based on the evidence in the record that Mr. Mancillary suffered past persecution and especially that he's got a well-founded fear of future persecution. With respect to the social group claim, because that's really where an asylum case would begin and end, if you don't have a covered ground under the immigration statute, you really don't get anywhere else. It is our contention, and we have argued before Judge Bauer as well as before the board, that Mr. Mancillary is advancing a claim based on his family relationship, that is the social group to which he belongs, and because of the treatment that he and his family have received at the hands of an individual by the name of Faridun Babai, difficult name to spell, difficult to pronounce also, that those actions taken against his family establish his past persecution as well as the basis for a claim for future persecution based on his social group. There is a little bit of an issue, I think, with opposing counsel's brief alluding that the board may have agreed that Mr. Mancillary has established a social group membership claim. I'm not so certain. That is why we've argued in our opening brief, and we argue here today, that Mr. Mancillary's family, including his father, who was targeted by Mr. Babai for an extortion of $30,000 after Mr. Mancillary informed his father that Mr. Babai had tried to take his sister and traffic her to Italy for prostitution, Mr. Babai followed up and continued looking for Mr. Mancillary in the ensuing years, and he knows this, and evidence was presented to the immigration court that this continued even while his family had escaped to Greece temporarily with visas. Mr. Babai was still looking for Mr. Mancillary.
Now they're back in Albania.
And it's my understanding.
Father and sister.
Right.
He's over here with, I guess, his uncle's family.
His extended family.
I think he was over here with his uncle's family, the one who was killed.
Right.
So their sister and father are back in Albania, and mm-hmm. Why would he be threatened if they're still hanging out?
Well, first I do want to make sure that they were clear. There was no choice for the family to return. Their visas had expired.
Right. They had to leave Greece.
And so in returning to Albania, Mr. Mancillary's father, Gazim, had already been extorted out of $30,000 in having to sell the family home. Why Mr. Babai did not continue to grab his sister and force her into prostitution, I don't know. If I could ask him, my guess is that he would respond that there's other fish in the sea. Why didn't he go back and continue to target her? The only conclusion I can come to is that he made a decision based on his business to look for others. And we do know, with all the evidence before the court and the board, and continuing reports issued by the U.S. State Department of the gravity of trafficking cases that come out of Albania, the targeting of young girls, young women, there's a strong basis in fact. I mean, the plausibility of what Mr. Mancillary was explaining and testifying about over the course of a couple of years of trial, because this testimony was extremely detailed and extremely long.
Of course, we've had that challenge right now, as you know, with the CC case.
And Right. And with respect to the CC case, as I understand it, his sister would fall directly in with that.
How old is she now?
Man.
She's 13 at the time.
Right, 13 at the time. She's about 20 years of age.
Okay.
And so she would fit within the 17 to 27 range that, at least the dissent in CC had addressed. My understanding is that that is still pending review. Mr. Mancellari is a little bit different. Yes, his sister fits in that group. However, this went from a simple targeting of a young girl for prostitution. It was transformed into going after this particular family, including Mr. Mancellari, who stepped in and did what a big brother should do and tried to shield his sister from being taken by someone who he knew to be in the criminal underworld in Albania and involved in narcotics trade and trafficking of women.
He's a target, not because he's in a social group other than his family. He's a target, sort of a revenge thing or something or other, that this fellow might want to get even with him or something because he took away one of his potential victims. He's looking at other victims, and we don't know on any of that.
But
the family is back in Albania, and now it's a lousy place to be. Whole lot of places that people rather be here.
I agree with the last comment, the statements prior thereto. I think that there is, in the government, I think to some degree has addressed this, one central motive. And I think that there is more, and I've been professing this since 2007 when the trial started through 2009 with my closing statement, is that this is more than simple targeting of someone for personal retribution. There was a family that was targeted here. It began with his sister. It spread to his father. It spread to him immediately, and his father saw the writing on the wall and got him out of Albania for his safety. The fact that they're back in Albania and they have not been directly harmed themselves since returning does not at all undercut the fact that Mr. Babai was aware in 2008 of testimony that was given before the immigration court, and Mr. Babai made continued threats to Mr. Mancellari through his parents regarding his safety if he continued to open his mouth before the immigration court. The way that particular...
But if it's a personal grudge, it doesn't qualify as persecution, does it?
As far as a personal grudge, we would present to the court that I believe I'm at 8 minutes, but I do want to finish this.
You'll have time, depending on whether you want to use it for rebuttal.
I'd like to address this. I think that we need to go back to the bedrock, and that is the Immigration and Nationality Act. Can someone establish a claim that they are a refugee? It requires that they establish either that they've suffered past persecution or they have a well-founded fear of persecution on account of a protected ground. We are arguing social group. In terms of harm and mistreatment that is considered offensive by this government can qualify as persecution. Can that be threats? Does it need to be more? What additional factors need to be reviewed? The act against someone, in this case Mr. Babai looking for Mr. Mancellari, is there an element of personal retribution? We can't argue that Mr. Babai was not angry in 2003 when this took place. However, the harm or mistreatment is very clear when one looks at the U.S. country reports talking about organized crime in Albania. Organized crime in Albania is ruthless, involved in nefarious trades, including trafficking of women and trafficking in narcotics. The harm that I am convinced that Mr. Mancellari has a reasonable fear to hold is from Mr. Babai about what happened in 2003. Personal threats are not taken lightly. There was quite a bit of testimony addressing that from our expert witness before the immigration court. The harm or mistreatment, I think that given the fact that the Albanian government has shown itself unable, unable to protect its citizens from corruption, including being targeted by criminal elements in Albania, do, I think incrementally with case law over time, this is a type of case. When one looks at who Mr. Babai is, the criminal element that he represents, and what he's looking to do to someone who got in the way of a business deal, if the government in Albania cannot protect one of their citizens from someone who's looking to do them harm, I do believe that that crosses the line from a personal grudge, which is what the immigration judge found, to being an act of persecution. The government itself is not inflicting the persecution, but they're allowing this individual and these individuals to do this to the folks that you and I would meet and think that, boy, he's a nice guy. But what's going on in Albania, I believe that the dangers are such that, given his position and given the facts of this case, it would be persecution.
Interesting, though, the fact is that the government did, when they ratted on him, they arrested him and apparently got $30,000 bail, if all that's true. So there was some intervention by the government, meaning that they're supposedly trying to do something. I admit there's a whole lot more needs to be done, but at least they did that much, give some indication that they're aware of it.
If I could have one last comment on this, and this is, I liken the government's attempts, or at least the reporting of their attempts to curb criminal activity to something I saw last night in my house. My daughter, 11 years old, doing her homework. She's supposed to be doing her homework. She says she's doing her homework, but in reality, she's not doing her homework. She's talking to her sister. She's doodling. She's figuring out what Wii game she can buy when she has her next birthday in a couple of months, but she's not doing her homework. Not until the state came in, my wife, and said, enough messing around. At that point, she started doing her homework. What the country reports are talking about, the government in Albania has not actually gone in and enforced the type of change that the State Department reports allude to. It's not that significant to change. These cases regarding trafficking go back to the late 1990s. There's a reason for that. It's because things are not improving in that country.
That's bad.
Thank you.
Counsel, I'll give you a little time at the end, and you have another 2 minutes on your side as well.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Edward Durant. I represent the United States. Petitioner did not demonstrate past persecution in Albania, and he certainly didn't demonstrate a well-founded fear of future persecution in Albania, and a contrary result is not compelled. With respect to Mr. Mancellari, let's look at the nature of the threat that he allegedly received in 2003 from Mr. Babich. Now, this isn't the first threat that was levied. The first threat, apparently, was against his 13-year-old sister because Mr. Babich didn't want the Mancellari family to find out about him. So Mr. Babich, a gangster, threatens her first. And then he doesn't threaten Petitioner. He asked to meet him besides a warehouse to settle some personal dispute. Maybe he heard a rumor that that Mr. Mancellari was saying bad things about him. Mr. Mancellari doesn't go there, instead tells his father, who reports him to the police. From then on, Mr. Mancellari went to his uncle's house and to the United States. So we really don't have past persecution, and this Court is well aware that past persecution can, or former threats can equate to past persecution, but only in the extreme cases, and we don't have it here. So with respect to a well-founded fear of future persecution, Mr. Mancellari has to overcome what I would see three hurdles. First of all, he has to show that anything that Mr. Babich did was on account of a protected ground. Now, the government would argue that the one central reason why Mr. Babich was after him is because Mr. Babich is a criminal and Mr. Mancellari got in his way. In fact, when the Mancellari family paid the $30,000, Mr. Mancellari characterized that as a bribe. And the reason he did it is because Mr. Mancellari got in his way. So from then on, that Mr. Mancellari has not even shown that the threat was on a personal ground. On a protected ground. It's simply personal retribution. Then Mr. Mancellari has to show that it's objectively unreasonable for him to go back to Albania, but he's got his whole family living there. And what's telling is that although his uncle was killed in 2005, Mr. Mancellari believes it was on account of Mr. Babich, his own father went back in 2006 and filed another charge against Mr. Babich. So that shows the nature of how the family is acting. His sister, Anaxela, is back in Albania. The very woman who spurned Mr. Babich is back in Albania. He's not tried to take her to Italy. Maybe she's, you know, too old for him now. But the fact is, the family that's similarly situated has not been harmed. And finally, Mr. Mancellieri has to show that the government of Albania is unwilling or unable to help him, and he can't do that. If you look at the State Department reports from 2008, they show a decline in blood-viewed killings. In fact, I think in 2008, 4 out of 85 homicides in Albania were on account of blood feuds, and that's the lowest in 18 years.
Blood and feud, you call it?
Blood feud, a personal retribution. If I offend you, I seek a retribution based on a personal problem I have with you. But there was only 4 in 2008, the lowest in 18 years. With respect to trafficking, Albania is seeking to combat that problem. You'll see that they're not only arresting gentlemen who are doing this, but also prosecuting them. There's NGOs involved trying to help those women who've been trafficked. Admittedly, Albania, Kosovo, those areas, not perfect places, not a great place to live. But again, it doesn't show, it certainly doesn't compel that they're not trying to protect or that they couldn't protect Mr. Mancellieri if he went back. And since the standard is compels a contrary result, he has not met his burden. He's made some arguments, but that certainly doesn't compel a contrary result to the agency's findings. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them now.
No, thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
You have a couple more minutes.
Thank you. With respect to a well-founded fear of future persecution, the last reports that were reviewed in Mr. Mancellieri's case go back several years. They go back to 2008. Just recently, the United States government has issued a trafficking in persons report in 2012, I believe was issued earlier this summer. I think that we're going back and we're in the government in Albania is revisiting many of its shortcomings in previous years. The U.S. government, and this is not before the court at this time, but we would ask that the court take judicial notice of documents that the U.S. government has issued indicating that the government of Albania has sustained its anti-trafficking law and enforcement efforts over the last year. It's convicted fewer people. Victims who've pursued cases against their traffickers continue to be at risk of retribution. There's no improvement. There's no improvement for someone like Mr. Mancellieri. I think quite to the contrary, the U.S. government reports are indicating that conditions in Albania are not improving. So, again, we do respectfully ask that this court take all the evidence into account, and we await the court's decision. Thank you.
Thank you. You were appointed in this case, were you, Mr. Kern?
Appointed?
Yes.
No, I was unfortunately chosen 8 years ago and still with it.
Well, I'll blame my colleague who mentioned that you might.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. Very good argument on both sides. Thank you.